Well, in Sunday school this morning, I preached on Bible numerology and about seven sevens, the significance of sevens. But now I want you to take your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and this is the passage of Scripture. If you hear much preaching anywhere about any denomination, you're going to hear this passage quite a bit. It's a wonderful passage. It's a quid pro quo where God says, if you do this, then I'll do that. And God is that way a lot with His people. He said, if you do this here, then I'll do, if you do that there, I'll do this here. And here's what He says. And it's kind of a prescription that not only applied to the children of Israel here in the context in 2 Chronicles 7, but it applies universally to any people who claim to be God's people and are willing to hear it. And here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You today, Lord, and we know that You tell us if there's four things, Lord, if we'll do those things, then You'll forgive us for our sinfulness, Lord, our sins, and You'll heal our land. Our land needs healing today, Lord. So we turn to You today, Lord, for comfort. We turn to You for instruction. We turn to You for rebuke, for exhortation, Lord, through the preaching and teaching of Your Word. Fill me with the power of God this morning and hold me up by the Holy Ghost of God. And touch hearts and open hearts, Lord, and let me preach it, Lord, like You want it preached. And I'll thank You and praise You and give You all the glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. All right, I want to talk about, I've got 3 R's here, return, repent, and remember. That's a good place to start, but God here in this text, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, there's 4 things here. The 4 ifs in the passage that will bring about forgiveness from God and will bring about God's healing. And this is one of those verses that if you take God seriously and if you take the words of God seriously, it will set you free from a lot of things that have tied you down. Some of you folks are so bound up this morning and a sin that you just won't quit. You just refuse to quit. Come to the altar 15 times over 20 years and it's the same sin still giving you problem because you won't give it up. But there's 4 ifs here in the passage that God says He promises forgiveness and promises healing. First of all, He said, if my people will humble themselves. My. Finding a humble man anywhere today is sometimes quite a search. So, you know, sometimes I'll get to thinking, oh, I'm pretty... If you think you're pretty humble, you're not humble. It's that simple. But sometimes you'll be thinking you're pretty humble and be driving down the road and somebody will cut you off. Or pull out right in front of you. You know, first thing that goes out the window, your humility. We're a mess. You know, one of the greatest, I heard that Lester Roloff, one of the greatest preachers of all time, said he was a terror to ride with because he'd get so upset at folks in traffic. But here the Lord tells this crowd, the first thing you do, said, first of all, if my people would humble themselves. Hey, you can't go to God all lifted up and thinking that you're somebody and expect God is going to be impressed because it's you that's coming to Him. No, He's not impressed. God is no respecter of persons. And He says here, first of all, if my people would humble themselves. Secondly, He said, if my people would pray. We've just about forgotten how to pray. We'll pray 2 or 3 minutes and we'll think, well, that ought to hold me till next Sunday. Or that ought to hold me. No. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You need to have that attitude of prayer. You need to have that thing where you run things by God back and forth every day. The Bible says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose thoughts are stayed on thee. You need to keep that attitude of prayer and then to keep that communication line only. Hey, if you've got a best friend, you don't talk to him just once a week. Man, God says, if my people, first of all, if you'll humble yourselves, secondly, if you'll pray. John R. Rice did a great book on prayer, asking and receiving. You know, you have not because you ask not. And what's the other great prayer book? Mound? What's the guy's name? Inbound. Well, good. Good book on prayer. God wants to hear from you. We think, a lot of times we pray as if it's just a waste of time. No, it isn't. That's the most important thing you could do is to pray to God. Let Him know that you've got enough respect for Him. You've got enough confidence in Him that you're going to go to Him knowing that He can do what you can't do and He can accomplish what you don't have the power to accomplish. Over there in Hebrews it says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So by that passage, the Bible says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You're not getting rewarded in your prayer life because you don't have a prayer life. You just let things go where the chips fall, let them fall. But God says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's wanting to help you this morning. He's wanting to hear from you this morning. And He says, if you'll humble yourselves first, you come to me with a humble heart, and you pray to me. Now you're on your way there, folks. Then He said, thirdly, if my people will seek my face. Wow. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. How do you seek God's face? God speaks to us how? With words. Through the Scripture. Read the book. Read the book. I don't know how many things that I've tore up before and then decided to get out the manual and I already tore the thing up because I didn't read the book on how to put it together. And I'm to a point I'm shaky anyway. I got a thing called essential tremors. It's an inherited trait. If you get real intent doing something, you'll get shaky. And sometimes it comes, sometimes if I start working on something, I get so frustrated with it and shaky, sometimes I throw it as far as I can sling it. But if I'd just read about it first, maybe that wouldn't happen. Maybe there's something about humility that I didn't learn early on in that day. Okay, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. My. We need to seek God's face. And what's the fourth thing? If my people would turn from their wicked ways. My. Wicked ways. You know, for God to make this statement, you know, it's implied in this whole passage in His written word, I get the inference here that these four areas were obviously, by what God said, they were obviously lacking in God's people, or He wouldn't tell them to do those things. He didn't say, now that you're praying and now that you're humble. And He said, if you get to this point, if you humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, so that gives an inference to me that those things are lacking in God's people. Man, isn't that's a bad testimony for God's people. Man, you don't want to get me started on religion. Do you know who gives the waitresses out the reservation on Sunday afternoon? Do you know who the waitresses hate to see walk in and give the waitresses the roughest time and the toughest time? The church crowd. That's true. Hey, who do you think crucified the Lord? Hey, it wasn't the guys down at the bar. It was the religious crowd. So you got to watch out. So God here is disappointed with His people. And I'd say He's still disappointed today with His people. He said here to the children of Israel, God's chosen people, His elect chosen people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, inferring with an implication here that they lack those things when He spoke it to them. We have a lack of humility today. We have a lack of prayer. We have a lack of seeking God's face. And we have a lack of God people turning from their wicked ways. Hey, that not only does that fit every individual Christian, it fits every individual church, it fits every nation, America. If America would humble itself and pray and seek my face and turn from its wicked ways. Back in the early days of radio, there was an old radio commentator named Walter Winchell. Most of you folks are way too young to be around and remember about Walter Winchell, but he had a radio program, and he'd start out that program. He'd say, "Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea." Hey, this message fits just everybody. Mr. and Mrs. America, it'll fit you. Church person, born again, blood-bought believer. This passage still works for you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, if you do that, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's called a quid pro quo, something for something. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. So evidently God is dealing with a people here who aren't humble, a people who aren't praying, a people who are not seeking His face, and obviously a people who are refusing to turn from their wicked ways. My, is that you? Is that me? My mama used to say, if the shoe fits, you wear it. Where do you fall into this equation? Where do I fall into it? I wish I could say I'm guiltless with all those things. I wish I could say that. But God said in this exchange over in Jeremiah 3:22, He told Israel, said, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding." God's always there. He's always there with something remedial to bring you back to where He wants you to be so He can bless you. And they said, "Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Hey, God is looking for Christians today. He's looking for churches today. He's looking for nations today to humble themselves and pray and seek His face and to turn from their wicked ways. Hey, for a man to humble himself, first of all, he has to come to himself. What does it take to humble you? What does it take? What does it take? For me, you know what humbled me more than anything in my life? A political election. I ran for sheriff. Man, Brother Bob, I had people that voted against me that I had done CPR on. I mean, it is bad. And I had a pretty good opinion of myself when I started that thing. By the time that thing is over, I said, "Lord, I'm a low life, no good, low down dog. They said I am, and I know they're right. You know they're right." God said, "Okay, now maybe I can use you to preach. Now that we've got you where I need you to be," and that's what happened. Man's got to come to himself. Remember that prodigal son? He got so sick of the farm, he got tired of doing the chores, feeding the cattle, cleaning out the stalls, and said, "I'm out of here. I want to collect my inheritance, and I'm getting out of here. I'm done with this crazy farm." He ran off and said he wasted his substance on riotous living. Anybody remember those days? I won't mention Milton or Bob back there and me riding around. Bring back some memories, some good, some bad. Drive how many times? I bet we drove around that circle at Frisch's 10,000 times over the years I was in high school. You'd drive through there twice and the guard would come out and make you leave. So you'd go up the road and turn around, come back about 5 minutes later, and you'd come back and you'd ride around it again for a few times. But this prodigal son, he had wasted his inheritance on riotous living. And the Bible, when he found himself down and out and he didn't have anything, nothing to eat, he's there with a swine living in the hog pen. And the Bible says, and when he came to himself, it is humbled him to the point where he knew he was better off with the Father than he was with a crowd that he had chosen. My, my, my. Anybody ever been there? I remember one of the times I was going to be a big star in Nashville, Tennessee. Five of us left from Florida. Ralph Chernigan, he was a great guitar player, played guitar with Hank Snow and some of those other groups. Bobby Watts, a piano player, played with Bill Anderson and the Po' Boys. They're the nation's number one instrumental country group that year. Bobby Watts, big Indian boy, Cherokee Indian from Asheville, North Carolina. And a fellow named Vila. What was his first name, Joyce? Vila. Larry Vila. Larry Vila. He had played with Ernest Tubb after Stevie Chapman left him the first time. He could fly on that guitar. Blah, blah, blah. And we went, and I remember we played Printer's Alley that one night, either the Black Poodle or the Western Room. And we said, we just knew that we were going to be big stars and nothing flat. Well, the first one that went broke, I think, was a piano player. He run back to North Carolina. And there's two of us left, and we had about a quarter between us, me and Larry Vila. And I had a new pair of imitation alligator cowboy boots that barely fit. And we were living out by West End, and we had to walk down to Tootsie's Orchid Lounge behind the Opry. Anybody ever heard of Tootsie's Orchid Lounge? They might still have my picture on the wall down there. I don't know. But we walked down there, and those boots, my feet were so blistered by the time we got there, and we didn't have a dime. And Larry Vila sweet-talked the waitress into buying us a cup of coffee. After so much of that, I walked up West End, up toward the Grand Opry, up Broadway. And off Broadway is West End. I walked up there, and there's a telephone booth, two telephone booths together. And I walked in there, and I checked the coin slots. Nobody here has ever been that poor, have you? Where you check the coin slot, see if there's any change in there. I did that. And there's a quarter in one of those change slots. And I called Gary Boggs. Gary Boggs was playing steel guitar for Connie Smith. And Gary, his wife answered and said, Gary's on the road. Said, but she'd come by and pick us up and make us something to eat. She picked me and Larry up. And she had biscuits and gravy and fried taters. Man, they're talking about setting you free. A starved-to-death country boy, man, there's nothing better. And my next phone call was to my daddy. I said, Daddy, I'm broke. I'm wanting to come home. He sent me money, and I headed home. See, I had to be humbled before I'd get to that point. See, at my daddy's house, I knew there was always something to eat. There's always food, a place to stay, clothing. But I had to humble myself. Now this prodigal son thought he'd have it made when he left the father and joined with the world. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. The biggest reason I think that men won't turn to God today is they refuse to humble themselves. I mean, I'm something important. I'm something special. I mean, I don't want to get myself in trouble. We used to say, how many female vocalists does it take to put in a light bulb? Just one, because all they had to do to hold it, and the whole world revolved around them. No, you can use that with anybody. We use it with bass players still, but Joyce, I wasn't talking about you, sweet, sweet girl. Anybody here seen my sweet thing? No, I wasn't talking about her. All right. Hey, men they won't turn to God today. They won't humble themselves, and because of that, they'll refuse to turn to God. I suspect the biggest reasons that God don't hear our prayers is because we have it in our heads that we deserve to be heard. Hey, God, guess who this is? They all know me down at the coffee shop. Yeah, they know. They all know me over at the courthouse. Yeah, it's me, Lord. Yeah. God said, who? Who's this guy? Humble themselves. Hey, if you think God hears your prayer based on your own merits, then you know about as much as a goose knows when Sunday comes. That's what my mama used to say. If you think that God hears you based on how wonderful you are, what your reputation is, no, don't cut it with God. Hey, you just stay up on your self-righteous high horse and see how quick the God answers your prayer. Remember the story of Naaman? Naaman, the king of the host of Syria. Man, big, important fella. He left to go see the prophet Elisha because the little Israeli maid told him that this guy would heal him of his leprosy. Man, he is important. He had everything in the world, but he was a leper. That's like any human being. You can be real important, but you're still a sinner. So he shows up at the prophet's house, Elisha's house. He wouldn't even get out of the chariot. Sent a servant up and said, tell him I'm here. Elisha just, he said, go tell him to go wash in Jordan 7 times and he'll be healed. That servant come down and said, hey, he just said, wash in Jordan 7 times. He said, man, he goes wrong. He got mad. After all, he was a king. He was a host of the king of Syria. The captain of the host of the king of Syria. I'll get it right eventually. Too high-minded. And finally, his servant said, well, hey, if he had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? But now all he says, all you got to do is go wash. But he wasn't humble himself. Finally, he got it together and did what the man of God told him to do. Hey, the problem is, it don't look like God will ever mess with a man who don't understand that he's a mess to begin with. God won't mess with you because you think you're okay. You just stay there. You sought the man of God to heal him. What a story. You want to return? Hey, he said, if my people will humble themselves, you want to return to God and the blessings of God, then you try humbling yourself. You want God's ear? Then I want you to come to yourself like this prodigal son. When you find yourself in your search for humility, then you pray. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request. Let your request be known unto God. He wants to hear from you. Next thing God says here to do is to seek my face. How does God reveal himself? With the words, his book. This book of the law, Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Then thou shalt find good success. My. Get in the book. Get in the book. John 5:39, the Bible says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Want to see God's face? This book testifies and tells you who he is. He expresses himself and his mind and his heart through his precious word. Isaiah 34:16, he said, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Maybe you've drifted today. Maybe you're here, you've just, the old country song, drifting too far from the shore. I'm drifting too far from the shore. Maybe you've drifted away. Hey, God wants you to come back. Return, O backsliding Israel. He wants you to humble yourself and pray and seek his face. And lastly, he says, and turn from your wicked ways. I was doing pretty good up to that last part. I was hanging in there feeling pretty good about myself to that last part, because I know within my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and there's some weaknesses that you just can't hardly take them away from me. I'm too stuck to some of my sinful habits. They'll say, well, preacher, if I've humbled myself and I pray every day and I read my Bible, that may be true. Problem is, you've never turned from that sin you've been holding on to for all these years. How can you expect to return to God if you never repented? That's coming to yourself. Coming to yourself, being sorry for what you are, sorry for those weaknesses, sorry that those are within your members. It involves turning from your wicked ways. The repentance part leads you to turn from your wicked ways. I'm not saying turning is repentance. Turning follows repentance. It said, I will repent and turn, the Bible says. My. Returning to God involves turning from your wicked ways. Many try to return without repentance. Well, I'll quit this and quit that, but boy, I sure like that. Sure like doing that. But you know, many of us hold on to two or three little pet sins, little weaknesses for years without ever forsaking them. What's that all about? I hate that. God told that woman who was taken in adultery, you know what he told her? He says, nobody condemns you, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, well, you're forgiven. Next time, now just... No. He didn't want there to be a next time. Yep, with many of us, there's several next times to that sin we keep confessing. People go that altar over and over and over again, confessing the same sin, and just never seriously make an effort to overcome it. That's our nature, folks. This body of flesh is a mess. If they came out today, I guarantee you, if they came out with today with a study and said that study says that eating fried chicken will kill a man in 3 months, I guarantee you a third of this crowd would stop at KFC on the way home and eat enough chicken until the grease was dropping off their chin. Because we like it so good. I remember one time, Jordan, my wife likes chicken livers, among many other things. But I pulled in the KFC at Batesville. I was coming home. I ordered 2 pints of chicken livers. And I set them down there in the seat. And as I'm driving along, I got to smelling those chicken livers. Anybody ever do that? Buy chicken and then on the way home, you start smelling that chicken? And I said, well, it won't hurt to eat. I reached over there and I lifted up one of those lids. Took a little dab of that chicken liver. My, my, my. Before I got home, I had eaten a whole pint of them chicken livers. Why? Because it's good. Man, we're a mess. You're a mess. I'm a mess. Billy Graham's a mess. The Pope's a mess. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all gone out of the way. We've all become as an unclean thing. Hey, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Hey, the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. And said there's a sin not unto death. I mean, sin, it's any unrighteousness. But it's hard to give them all up. But God says give them all. If you want to be holy, for I am holy. Maybe you need to try a little harder. Make a serious effort at forsaking that sin that so easily besets us, as the Bible says. We think that the sin that we refuse to give up maybe is just not as big a sin as other folks have. It isn't that big a deal. If you think that your sin isn't a big deal, you never will repent of it. Luke 13:1 said there were present at that season. Now, let me think about this passage. It's kind of an interesting passage. The Lord says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. They'd killed off some of these folks. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans? Because they suffered such things? Man, do you think because their sin was so great that they suffered these things? You know what the Lord said? He said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Don't think because your sin isn't some great sin. My, 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 that's a pretty tough passage. I had to read that two or three times. And then swallowed real hard a couple times. You may not be quite as close to God as you think you are because of that sin you won't let go of. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 8:5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. Some people refuse to return because they refuse to repent. Some refuse to repent because they refuse to remember who they were before God saved them. James 1:23-4, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Prophet Joel said, therefore, Joel 2:12, and I'm done. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Jeremiah said, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. My. Where are you this morning? And I'm preaching to myself. There's some things that I need to turn from in my life. Some little habits that kind of push the envelope between something that pleases God and something that God's pretty concerned with. Some thoughts. Bible says to bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. 1 time there's a little series, and I need to quit here. A little series I wanted to watch. It's on HBO. They showed a preview. Oh, that looked good. So I subscribed to HBO, and about 3 days of that said, turn it off. I didn't want to see all that nakedness and vulgarity on those channels. I couldn't handle it. I said, I don't want to have that debate in my mind every time that comes on. I don't need it in front of me. That's just one example of what we're faced with. If my people, which are called by my name, everyone stand up, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Then, if you do that, then I'll hear from heaven. Forgive you your sins and heal your land. Our land needs healing. You know, the best way to get a clean environment with clean streams and clean air is for our nation to become a righteous nation. Just thought I'd throw that in. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What page are you on, Jerry?
271.